And
since we started late, we can run late.
Brother Mike, would you mind coming? Do you feel like coming up here? I didn't call on you the other night because I didn't know you didn't feel very well. Oh, I could get somebody else if you don't feel like it.
No, it's not the feeling like it. It's when my mind starts working.
Oh, okay.
Just right here.
Yeah.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this teacher and the words that you put in his mouth to help us understand your word and your will for us. We thank you for this place that we're able to come to and learn about you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you that these things will shape our minds and enable us to come to know you better. We thank you for this book you gave us that has your words in it and how those words enlighten our hearts and our minds and guide us. All of these things we thank you for and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Well, we're in the book of We Elei Shemot. We Elei Shemot. What does We Elei Shemot mean? We Elei Shemot. What? And these names. All right. What is the Septuagint name for We Elei Shemot? Exodus. You get A plus both times tonight. You got a really smart wife there, you know. All right. Let's go a little further now. Look at the... have you got one of these? Everybody have one of these? Okay. I want you to see where this came from. I borrowed it so you would have that out of this book. This book is Gesenius Hebrew Grammar. There it is, right there. Okay? I'll show that up here to the camera. So we can take camera and everybody out there in the world. Within 3 or 4 minutes this morning when I got the class out, it had already been hit 28 times. So it begins here, but it goes on yonder. Now, Gesenius Hebrew Grammar is the granddaddy or the grandmama of Hebrew grammar. It's this one here. It's not easy to get, but it's a good one. All right, this is, I've told you before, Gesenius was one of the greatest Hebrew scholars of all time. He was blackballed because of some of his remarks and some of his deep studies. And later on, they found out he's right, but they didn't like what he said when he said it. All right, here's a Kyle M. Yates, Biblical Hebrew Grammar. You can see there's a lot of difference. Of course, I have wine greens at home also. Anyway, this is Gesenius Hebrew Grammar. And they can stop it on their cameras if they want to get that at home. Now, this Gesenius Hebrew Grammar is just about equal to this A.T. Robertson's A Grammar of the New Testament in the Light of Historical Research by Archibald Thomas Robertson. Now, actually, most of this book was actually researched and written by John A. Broaddus, his father-in-law. John A. Broaddus really tutored and built A.T. Robertson up. This was his son-in-law. Now, that is quite a grammar. I'm going to tell you right now, this is everything. But you know that little bitty simple grammar that I have, my little great grammar I wrote? Almost every term in it that is in this one is in that one. But this doesn't have any verbiage. It just puts it down straight, and I say nothing else about it. I just put it down there as a fact in the indicative mode, and I leave it that way. If you want to chase the rabbit, you can go to this one. All right? And I'll put that one on camera also so they can see that one. That's A.T. Robertson's Big Greek Grammar. A.T. Robertson's Big Greek Grammar. Now we're studying the book of Exodus. We took a little left or right turn into the book of Jonah. We did 4 classes and studied the whole book of Jonah. I want you to look at the table of alphabets here now. Gesenius does a real good job on the history of the Greek grammar and the history of the Middle East languages and the Arabic roots and the Hebrew. He is a genius on that. He died very young, by the way. Now, if you look over here, all the way to the left, it says about 840 B.C., okay? And 840 B.C., that's what the letters look like, the Hebrew letters. Now, Hebrew and Arabic are sister languages. Hebrew, Arabic, and Aramaic, okay? Now, the Hebrew language was laid aside, and Gesenius says that, for many, many years. And then there was a Renaissance about 1800, between 1700 and 1800, and the Jews started trying to gather the language back up. And, of course, World War II with Hitler, he really souped it up because they wanted a homeland. Now, if you go down there, you'll see that the letters have changed. Now, look at the next one, the seals and Gemma, 9 through the 5th century B.C. See that? That's a long time ago. Now, that's what the letters look like. Now, look at the very bottom where it talks about we have Aleph. All right? The Aleph was an ox's head. All right? And look down there and see what the... Here we have Et, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, which is the sign of the direct object. But in the 5th to the 9th centuries B.C., what was it? That or that? That or that? The cross. I believe they changed this because they started crucifying people with this type of a crucifixion and that type of crucifixion. And, of course, now it's the Tau. All right? And crucifixion started where, according to our little study in the book of Jonah? Nineveh or Assyria. Okay, Nineveh or Assyria. Now let's go back and recap some things, because we're over here in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus in verse 20. Now, it's test time. Test time tonight. How many names did Jethro have? Come on now, this is put your thinking hats on now. How many names did Jethro have, and what did the names be? What did they mean? What were the names?
Five or six names, right?
Jethro. Let's see if this one's going to work. Jethro. What does Jethro mean?
Advisor to the king or something like
Exalted
that.
Exalted one. Exalted one, or one that's high. High or exalted one. What's the next name? What is another name of a Jethro? What is one of the other names of Jethro? Jeter. And, of course, that means exactly the same. Then what is another name? Pamela, do you remember the other name? Brother Abe, what's one of the other names of Jethro? Rue. What does Rue mean? Huh? Rue. It means friend. All right. And what about Ruel. These are the names that we know of Jethro. Okay? These are Jethro's names. He's a great actor in the book of Exodus, of course. All right, Ruel means friend of God. All right. I almost wrote that like a Jew. I've been reading so much Jewish writing, I wrote God like a Jew. I didn't put the O in it. They won't say the name of God, you know. They won't say that. All right. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, except they fight him every day to the teeth. They fight the Lord Jesus Christ, which is their God, whether they like it or not, of their lineage, made under the law, born of a woman, in the right fullness of times when he was. All right, what about Moshe? right? Moshe. What about Moshe? What's Moshe mean?
To rescue.
To rescue. Or to draw out. All right, to rescue or draw out. Now, how many names did Moses have? How many different people named Moses? You remember? Brother Roger. Brother Abe. I need your genius to work tonight. Now, just really dig those classes up. All right. Tonight I was doing a I only made 1,100 mistakes on sermon audio. I'm going back and rewriting all of this, and one of the sermons I preach is the roll call of the damned. And I remember that one. I said, "Well, I do this stuff and I forget it the next day. I can learn my own stuff over again. I can listen to myself preach and just learn a lot." Especially 30 and 40 years ago. All right. Moses, Moshe. Let's go back. Where do we find it? Where do we find this information? Hasater Yeshur. Remember the book of Jasher. Let's look at this one for just a moment. Okay. How old was Moses' mother when she gave birth to him? Talking about miraculous births now. How old was Moses' mother when she gave birth to him? You remember? Chapter 67 in the book of Jasher. There was a man in the land of Egypt of the seed of Levi. How do you say Levi in Hebrew? Modern, not modern Hebrew, but ancient Hebrew. Louis. Modern Hebrew? Levi. All right. Whose name was Amram, the son of Kehath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel. And this man went and took a wife, namely Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, his father's sister. This was his aunt. He took his aunt as his wife. Okay? Jochebed was Amram's aunt. So he took her as his wife, and she was 126 years old, and he came unto her. Right? And the woman conceived and bore a daughter, and she called her name Miriam. Because in those days that the Egyptians had embittered the lives of the children of Israel. Miriam means what? Embittered. All right. And then she conceived again and bore a son, and his name was Aaron. For in the days of her conception, Pharaoh began to spill the blood of the male children of Israel. Okay? Then it goes on and talks about different things here. Talks about Zephyr died and Jethro, Ruel. It talks about Pharaoh calling his counselor, and Jethro was one of his counselors. Jethro was a counselor of Pharaoh. Okay? Let's go on a little bit further. Go over here. Now, Amram, because Pharaoh said that every male child had to be killed, had to be exposed. Actually, they would take them and put them in the Nile River, and the fish and the crocodiles and things would eat them as they went down the river. So basically, they put the child in the river. Many of them put them in little baskets, just like Moses was put in, and away they went for crocodile feed or whatever, you know. Well, so Amram put his wife away. He separated from her because he didn't want to have sexual contact with her because he didn't want to have any more babies. Because if it was a boy, he was going to have to die, so he didn't want to do that. So, after a period of time, the Lord spoke to him and told him to go back to your wife. So now we're going to see about the different names of Moses. The different names of Moses. Now, we have Moses born here in the 68th chapter of the book of Jasher. It was at the time that the Spirit of God came upon Miriam, the daughter of Amram, the sister of Aaron. She went forth and prophesied about the house, saying, "Behold, a son will be born unto us from my father and mother this time, and he will save Israel from the hands of Egypt." Now, we know that they looked at Moses as a savior. And when Amram heard the words of his daughter, he went and took his wife back to his house. And after he had driven her away, at the time when Pharaoh ordered every male child in the house of Jacob to be thrown into the waters, Amram took Jochebed, his wife, 3 years after he had driven her away, and he came to her, and she conceived. And at the end of 7 months from her conception, she brought forth a son, a seventh-month son. Seven is the number of what in the Bible? It's 9 months normally, isn't it? He's a seven-month child. Seven is the number of perfection. Okay? She brought forth a son, and the whole house was filled with great light, as the light of the sun and moon about the time of their shining. And we go on down a little bit further. Now we find out that, you know, they kept him in the house, but they finally exposed him to the Nile River in his little basket. Okay? And now Miriam, she stands far off as they have exposed him to the river. And they made this little ark. And the Egyptians went down to bathe in the river on account of the consuming heat, which burned up their flesh. And Bathea, the daughter of Pharaoh, went also. Now here we have her name, Bathea. But what does Bathea mean? What does Bathea mean? Do you remember what her name meant? Let's do another test. What's Bathea mean?
Daughter of God.
Daughter of God. Boy, you see what you're carrying home every night? A-plus student. All right. The daughter of God. And Bathea lifted up her eyes to the river, and she saw the ark upon the water, and sent her maid to fetch it. And she opened it and saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying, and she had compassion on him. And she said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." And all the women of Egypt walking by the river's side desired to give him suck. They all wanted to. These women were lactating women. They all wanted to nurse this child. But he would not suck. The Bible doesn't tell you this. See, this the book of Jasher tells you this. We know that Miriam was standing by the side, and we'll look and see what it says. "But he would not suck, for this thing was from the Lord, to order to restore him to his mother's breast. And Miriam, his sister, was at the time among the Egyptian women at the riverside, and she saw this thing, and she said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and fetch a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?'" God was in all this, wasn't it? "And Pharaoh's daughter said, 'Go,' and the young woman went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, 'Take this child away and suckle it for me.'" Now, I want to ask you something. How old was this woman when she had this child?
130 at least.
Well, no, she was at least 126 years and 7 months old, or a year.
Well, that was old. Miriam.
Yeah, Miriam is pretty old here. Yeah. But this is Jochebed, the mother, a nursing mother. This woman is, this is a miraculous situation. This is an old woman. She's old. She's at least 127 years old at this time. Okay? 127 years old and still nursing. And she had a child. Now, see, there's some miraculous births in the Bible, quite a few of them. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about this. This book here tells you what Noah's wife's name was and how old she was and where she came from. "And I will pay you wages, 2 bits of silver daily." How many of you know what 2 bits is? Not very many. 2 bits. That's about 12 and a half cents, isn't it? 2 bits is a quarter. All right. 4 bits, 50 cents. That's old language. "And the woman took the child and nursed it. At the end of 2 years, when the child grew up, she brought him to the daughter of Pharaoh, and he was unto her as a son." So 2 years, Moses lived with his own family, and Pharaoh supported his family. Now, what family did he come from? What family did Moses come from? What was his father? His father was a what? A Levite. What did the Levites do? What are they renowned for even to this very day?
Goldsmiths.
Gold and silversmiths. Now, the book of Jasher also says that the children of Levi, none of them ever went into hard slavery. They were all goldsmiths, and they were very, very necessary to Pharaoh. Okay? You learned something yet tonight? Or remembered? And she called his name Moshe, for she said, because I drew him out of the water. And Amram, his father, called him Chabar. 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 C-H-A-B-A-R. Chabar. For he said it was for him that he associated with his wife again. And that means, it means that rejoined or rejoined. And Jochebed, his mother, called his name Jektuthiel. Jektuthiel. J-E-K-U-T-H-I-E-L. J-E-K-U-T-H-I-E-L. Because she said, I have hoped for him to the Almighty God, El Shaddai. And God restored him unto me. And Miriam, his sister, called him Jared. Jared. Now, what does Jared mean in the Bible? Jared. You know, that's one of the first 10 names in the Bible, Jared. What does Jared mean? What does Jared mean? This is a test. Jared. Come on, you scholars. Jared. Brother Abe, Jared. Remember when I talked about the 10 inspired name? What does Jared mean?
Does it mean a goldsmith?
No, Jared. Because it means descending.
Okay.
Jordan, Jared, all from the same Hebrew root. Jordan, Jared, descending. Okay? Because he descended down the Nile in the little basket. That's what Miriam called him. For she descended after him to the river to know what his end would be. And Aaron, his brother, called him Abizanuk. Abizanuk, saying, my father left my mother and returned to her on his account. Abizanuk. Abi is A-B-I and then Z-A-N-U-C-H. Abizanuk. And Kehath, the father of Amram now, all right, this is his grandfather, called him Abigdor. A-B-I-G-D-O-R, because on his account, God did repair the breach of the house of Jacob. Okay? That they could no longer throw their male children into the water. And their nurse called him, look here, and their nurse called him Abi-Soko. Abi, A-B-I-S-O-C-H-O, saying in his tabernacle was hidden for 3 months, and the account of children of Ham. Abi, the father of the house. Tabernacle. Soket. All right. That's the Feast of Booths. All right. He was hid. And all the children of Israel. Another name. And all the children of Israel called his name Shema'ah, son of Nethanel. For they said, in his days, God heard their cries and rescued them from their oppressors. Shemaiah. God hears. All right. God has heard. The son of Nathaniel. All right. And Moses was in Pharaoh's house and was unto Bathiah, which means what? Daughter of God. Pharaoh's daughter as a son, and Moses grew up amongst the king's children. So we got a little bit of that down, didn't we? All right, because we're right in the midst of all this where we're going. And we need to know this background history. So what we do, how many Moses names did Moses have? How many was it there, Brother Roger?
10
names. All right. At least 10 names. Is that how many you got, Brother Mike? Got 10 names down there? Have got 10 names down there, Sharon?
I got 8.
You've got 8 names?
I missed
some. Okay, 8 names. You got 8 names. 8 to 10 names. All right. Moses had quite a few names, didn't he? All right. How many names did Jethro have? 4 names referred to in the Bible. All right. 4 names. How many places in the Bible is the book of Jasher referred to?
Once in the New Testament.
First or Second Samuel 1:18, Joshua 10:13, and 2 Timothy 3:8. And also we know in Paul's writings that the two magicians that stood before Moses and Pharaoh, that were Balaam's sons were Jannes and Jambres. All right, those were the two magicians or witch doctors that stood before and opposed Moses. Okay, now let's go back to the book of Exodus. I was hoping to get here early enough tonight to play a tape that when I was in Israel in 1975 and 76, they played this all the time on what they called Israeli radio. And what it is a Hebrew rabbi reading the whole Bible. And I was going to let you hear a little bit of the book of Exodus, but I didn't get here in time and get all that stuff done. We had too many things going when I got here. All right, 16 and verse 20. Exodus, we Elishamot, 16 and verse 20. Wilo, Shamu, El Moshe, Yotiru, Anashim, Memanu, Ad, Boker. Started reading the wrong way again. I started reading from left to right. Boker, Yadrum. All right. Yadrum. Tolaim, Yevash, Yiksof, Alehem, Moshe. Now, Sharon, you've got your little amplified Bible there, don't you? Okay. You want to come up here and read that for me right here where we are? Read about 15 through 20, if you would. 15 through 20. 15 through 20.
When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, manna, meaning, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather of it as much as he will need, an omer for each person, according to the number of your persons. Take it, every man for those in his tent. The people did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they measured it with an omer, he who gathered much had nothing over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Each gathered according to his need. Moses said, let none of it be left till morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some of them left it until morning, and it bred worms, became foul and stank, and Moses was angry with them.
All right. That's where we are right now. This is what's going on. We're back up to par right here. And not... they had listened. Third person construct plural, cal perfect. All right, not they had listened. What's perfect tense mean? That's happened action. That's fulfilled, completed action. It's happened. Okay? And what is the cal stem? What's the cal stem? Verb?
Shows the action.
All right, simple active. All right, simple active voice. All right. Third person construct plural, they, third person, construct, plural, that's they, okay? First, second, and third. Look up here for just a moment. Singular, plural. All right? First person singular is I. Second person singular is who? You. Third person singular?
He.
She. Or it. Okay? First person plural?
We.
Second person? Okay, you all.
No.
All right. Third person? They. Okay, infinitive. What's infinitive? To be. All right. I mean, this is real simple, but you'd be surprised how many people don't know English, how they can't really correspond this, because they've never really studied this in grammar. When I went to school in grammar, in English grammar, I'm going to tell you something, it was poor. when Maryland went to school, it was very, very poor. Our education was really poor compared to the rest of the world. They didn't train you to be rocket scientists. They trained you to be laborers. Simple as that. Okay? Our American educational system is way behind the world. Way behind the world. Even to this day. America, in the white population, education has always been behind. Did you know that? Except for the upper crust. The rulers sent their kids to college. They always will, and they will send them to the best schools. You can be assured of that. As simple as plain as the nose on your face. You know who had the best education in the American colonies during the 1615, 1600, and 1700s? Who were the most educated people in this country?
The guys who were going to seminary, I would think.
The American Indians. The American Indians had co-ed colleges. The first colleges in America were American Indian colleges. They called the five civilized tribes. You know why they called them the five civilized tribes? Because they were highly civilized. What are the most genius people in the world? What are some of the smartest people in the world? Who are they?
Huh?
Racially today, yeah, they are Hamites. They are Hamites. But where are they? Where are they? Where are we having all the competition? Asia, Japan, Korea, China, the most brilliant people in the world. What kind of nationality are the American Indians? Oriental, the very same races. Here in America, the American Indians, before they were devastated by disease and Anopheles quadrimaculatus, before they were devastated, they had seminaries. They knew what a zero was before Christ. They did. You study history. They know what a zero. They knew mathematics to the nth degree. They also knew that in Egypt when they built the pyramids. They can't believe how tremendously accurate those pyramids were. Okay? And in South America, there are pyramids. And the earth in the days of Peleg was divided. If you pulled out America and the whole and ripped them apart, you would find America and South America and Mesoamerica coming right out of the African continent, right where over there where they were building pyramids and doing great things with medicine. They were operating on people. They were hypnotizing people as they operated on them. Okay? They had drugs, pharmaceuticals. Here, the greatest pharmaceuticals in the world were among the American Indians and the Chinese and the Oriental people. It took Western Europe till the 1900s to catch up with them with medicine and with surgery and everything else. Just a little bit of history, okay? There with you. I'll blow your mind for a little while. All right? And they would not listen to Moshe, and they left. They were leaving. Third person, masculine, plural, hifal, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And they were leaving men from him until the daybreak. This him here is what? Who is this him? What's this? Huh? The manna. The manna is masculine. Okay? The manna is masculine. Until daybreak. Boker. Broker means what? The break. All right, an animal that's large enough to break ground is a bavoker, okay? And then, and it became full of worms, third person masculine singular, and he became full of worms, literally, if you want to put it down there literally, and he became full of worms. Third person masculine singular, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Tolaim. Tolaim is worms, maggots. And he smelled real bad. Third person masculine senior, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And he became angry. Look at that word there. And he became angry. Third person masculine senior, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Against them, Alehem Moshe. Moses got mad. Now, let's just look at Moses' personality for a minute. Who was the most humble man that God ever dealt with? Moses. I want to say this little bitty thing. I've heard a lot of preachers preach this. You know, I'm very simple in my thinking. I'm a simpleton. I believe the Bible is inspired in the original languages from A to Z and every tense, mode, and voice. I believe that. And I've proven that to myself for my own peace of mind and my own spiritual foundation. That's why I've done. I've told you about why I started studying Greek and Hebrew. My outlaw stepdaddy, Dale Remling, I told him that I believed that God was calling him preaching. I think he was maybe been in prison at that time. Anyway, I wrote him a letter. I told him I think that God wants me to preach. And he wrote me a lack of letter, or I talked to him or something, and I can't remember exactly how it went. But he said, "Well, Jimmy, if you want to be a preacher and a Bible teacher, you better learn Greek and Hebrew because the Bible's not written in English." He figured that might be an obstacle to me. It didn't do anything at all. It just zipped me up. It supercharged me. Nitrous oxide. Zip I went. Started studying, and I have loved it. I don't know how in the world people preach without knowing Greek and Hebrew. It just beats anything I've ever seen. I don't know how they preach. They must get somebody to write their sermons for them or something. I couldn't ever run out of something to say in a million years knowing Greek and Hebrew. You just go there and it's just, the Bible explodes with information. In English, it's just English. All right. Exodus 16:21. Why yelgetu? Oto, baboker. Baboker, Ish, Tefi, Akilo, We Tom, Hashemesh, We Namas. And they gathered and kept on gathering. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Him. Who's the him again? Mana. What does mana mean? What does mana mean? What? All right. And here's what it looks like. The root of it in Hebrew. Ma. What? All right? What? Mana means what? And they gathered him in Baboker. Baboker. Ba means what? That's a preposition, isn't it? Page 88. Brown Driver and Brig. All right? In daybreak. In break is what it literally says. In break. There's no day there. We have to understand it's daybreak. Baboker. In break. That's what it literally says in Hebrew. In break. Ish. Each man. It says literally man, but we know it's each man. Kafi. Mouth. Kafi. Now that comes from pei, which means mouth, and ki on the front of that. All right? And that means mouth, according to his mouth, according to his appetite, according to his mouth, literally. Akilo, to be eating, cal infinitive construct, with a surfix of third person masculine in the singular, to be eating him, literally. To be eating him. And he had not become warm, the sun. All right? And he had become hot or warm, the sun. The sun, he had become hot or warm. Hash Shemesh. Say Hash Shemesh. That's the sun. Shemesh is the sun. Ha is the. And he had melted. Third person masculine singular, Nifael, perfect. Perfect tense. And he had melted. This mana, what is it? Melted when the sun got up and got hot. Now we have the Sabbath observed somewhat. 16:22. Wahi, Bayom, Hashishi, Lakitu, Lahem, Mishneh, Shineh, Haomer, Laakad, Wayavu, Kai, Nasi, Ha'idah, Wayagidu, Limoshe, Wahi, and he became. Third person master singer, Cal, Wow, consecutive, imperfect. And he became in day, Bayom, say Bayom. Ba is in, that's preposition, in day, yom. In day the sixth. All right, well, we have 6 days. And they had gathered. Third person construct, plural, cal, perfect, and they had gathered. That comes from likot, see that? The root down there. And then layavu. And they came in. Third person, masculine, plural, cal, wow, consecutive, imperfect. I'm saying this over and driving this to you so you'll understand what those little things are down there. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, but go back up one line.
Go back. Did I miss a line? Yeah. Okay. Lahem. That's possible with me. Bifocals. I jumped the whole thing. Lahem. Food. Lahem means what? Eats. Anything you eat. Akal means eats. And lahem. Bethlehem means what? House of food. That was a place where there's lots of farming going on. Bethlehem. Mishneh. Mishneh. What's the Mishnah? Brother Roger? Mishnah.
It's the book of commentary.
The book of commentary. And what did they do with the Mishnah?
They study and study and study.
And they study and study and study.
And they argue.
And they argue and they study and they study and they study and they repeat and they repeat and they repeat. That's what it means to repeat. The Mishnah means to repeat. It means to double, to say again. They say it over and over and over and over again. And argue the same arguments that have been argued for 4,000 years. And they still haven't got the story figured out yet. They still missed the boat when the boat came. All right. Okay, Shene, two. Shene means to double or to divide. It means to split. You take one part and you make double, two pieces out of it, or you divide it. And then two omers. How much is an omer? How much is an omer? Two quarts. Two quarts. All right? Two quarts. On the sixth day, they were supposed to go out. They gathered two quarts, each man, of food a day. Two quarts of this manna for each person in the household. Okay? Because that's how much his appetite was. Some people eat more than a lot of others. My wife always watches me eat. She said, I don't know how in the world did you ever keep any weight on you because you eat nothing. You don't eat anything. Nothing. And I tell her, I said, I'm on a diet. My stomach's getting too big. I said, I'm gaining too much weight. She said, you don't eat anything now. What are you going to do? Quit eating altogether? I'm fuel efficient like a Volkswagen. It's called American Indian DNA. Didn't take us much to keep going on. Two omers, two quarts. For each one, for each one. What's in that word there, each one, brother? Le, lemeth on the front of that, that's a preposition. That means four or two, isn't it? All right, now what is each one? Yom Ahad. Yom Ahad.
Yom is a
day. One. All right, one. Ahad is in this word. All right. To one, or to each one. And they came in. This is where I was a while ago when I had skipped the line. Thank you very much. I make a lot of mistakes, people. I made 1,100 mistakes on sermon audio. I got to go back and fix every one of them. And they came in. Third person, masculine, plural, cal, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And that comes from boo, by the way. I forgot to write it down there, but boo. And then we have an all. Call, all. All is call. Call is all. Okay? Page 481. What would be the equivalent in Greek of all? How about pos? Pos, that's good. All right, all. All the princes, the nesi. Nesi, what does princes mean? The princes. What is a prince? What is the word prince? It comes from the word what?
Like to wrestle.
It means to wrestle. It means to get to climb the ladder by warfare, basically. It means to gain power. All right, and let's see. Princes. Ha'idah. Of the congregation. Princes of the congregation. Page 417. Page 417 on that one. Congregation. Ha'idah. Exodus 16:22. Wayagidu. Wayagidu. And they reported. They declared. Third person, masculine, plural. Hithel, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Look at that one. Le Moshe. To Moses. Le is what?
It's a preposition.
To Moses. To Moses.
So are the princes, are they the tribal chiefs?
Yeah, they're the tribal chiefs. They're the heads of the family. Remember, these are patriarchs.
Okay.
We're still in the patriarchal system right now. So all the heads of the families. If you read the book of Jasher, this little book right here, you'll find out that Jacob and his sons were mighty warriors. Jacob was a mighty warrior. Remember, he wasn't some panty-waist sissy like the Bible, like I've heard so many Bible preachers say that he was. You know, he would stay at home with mama and all this kind of baloney. That man was out guarding those sheep and those goats and those cattle. They had sheep, they had goats, they had cattle, they had camels, they had horses, all of this stuff. These were nomadic people. And Jacob was the breadwinner of his family, and Jacob was the one that went out there and took care of everything. He guarded all these animals. What was Esau? Party animal. And a playboy. All he thought about was eating and gorging himself, and his daddy was just like him. Yitzchak. They lived for pleasure, their appetites. They lived for the appetites. And Isaac was going to bless the wrong son in spite of what God said. He was going to bless Esau in spite of, and God had to blind Isaac to keep him from blessing the wrong man. You don't want to know why Isaac went blind. He went blind because he was a sinner. His appetite, he loved what Esau brought him. He loved that wild game, that gamey meat. Okay? As long as Jacob's sons were alive, I don't care how old they were. How old was Jacob when he was out fighting the what we call the Canaanite Wars? How many people did the sons of Israel kill after they murdered and molested and destroyed those converts in Shechem?
Like 100,000?
They killed 100,000 Canaanites. They had war on every side. And those boys were warriors. Warriors, tremendous warriors. And they lived through battle scars. You will not believe. You read the book of Jasher, it tells you about the history of those Canaanite wars. And when they went down into Egypt, guess what Pharaoh, guess what Joseph was down there? What was he? What was Joseph?
Secretary of Defense.
He was the Secretary of State, and he was also the, what's the president?
Commander-in-Chief.
Commander-in-Chief. He was the Commander-in-Chief of all Egypt. So guess what? When Egypt had wars, guess who went out in his chariot? Joseph. And he, after his brothers got down there, he took those brothers down there. And boy, I mean to tell you, they devastated some countries. They went out and whooped the socks off of them. And they were such powerful warriors. They said that one of Jacob's sons could kill 10,000 men. This was history. You go back and study history now. One of his sons could kill. And as long as any of those patriarchs was alive in Egypt, those people shook in their presence. As long as the last son. It doesn't say when Benjamin died is the only time. It tells all the different sons except for Benjamin. It doesn't say anything about Benjamin. Joseph's full brother. Let's go. Exodus 16:23 now. Are you learning anything tonight? Learn a little history anyway. Wyomer. Alihim. Hugh, Asher, Deber, Hadavar, Shabbaton, Shabbat, Godesh, Hadavar, Machar, Et, Asher, Tofu, Efu, Wiet, Asher, Tabashilu. You thought they had made tofu only today, huh? There's tofu right back there. Way back yonder. Wyomer. And he said and kept on saying, third person singular, cow, wild, consecutive, perfect. The root of that word is Omer. Okay?
See,
he doesn't have a book, does he?
I tried to find one.
Is not one over there?
I didn't see.
There's one over there someplace.
Okay.
But probably over. We'll get it before you go tonight, brother.
I got one at home.
Oh, okay. And he said to them, and then we have a third person pronoun basically here, is you. Now that word you is masculine, feminine, and either one. Masculine, feminine, either one. On page 214 and 15 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. In Greek, what would it be? Come on now, you guys. I'm teaching you Greek and Hebrew at the same time. Brother Abe. What did you? What would be the equivalent of you in Greek? It would be three things: auto, autos, aute. Okay. Aute is masculine. Auto is neuter. Autos is masculine. Greek's got it all. That's the third person masculine. And in Greek, there's eight cases. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. And it will be in all of those cases. Masculine, feminine, and neuter. Do you see how big Greek is? Remember, I told you, that's the real Greek grammar. That's the real one. This is the biggest Greek grammar, Hebrew grammar, by Gesenius. Remember that. Greek is a much larger language than Hebrew, but Hebrew is a powerful language, and nobody can understand the Hebrew Bible. And I'm going to tell you something about the Hebrew Bible and the Greek, what it'll do to you. It will vaccinate you from error, theological error. You won't go there if you read the original language. You won't go in some of those areas. You'll just stay right here where you're supposed to be if you let the Word lead you. And he said to them, asher. Now that's a particle of relation, okay? Or a relative particle. And he said that what he had said, deber. Look at that word deber. Now here we have the word amer at the beginning of the sentence, and now we have the word deber, which means what?
To speak.
Huh? To speak or to say. All right, to speak or to say. What's the difference? All right.
Deber means to.
Deber means to put in the line.
Yeah.
What would be the Greek equivalent to deber?
Logos.
Lego or logos. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
That's the word. And deber is the word, or devar is the word they referred to as ha-devar, as the word in the Old Testament, or the name of God, the personal name of his personal name. Ha-devar. There you go, ha-devar. Deber, ha-devar. And we see it repeated. It's Jehovah, but we don't say that word. We don't know how to say that word, neither did they. Adonai, 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 Adonai Elohim, Adonai Elohim. They won't say that, and that's not the way you say it. Adonai means Lord. This morning my class was, the title of it was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Adonai Ha'adonaiim in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. That whole chapter is full of Hebraisms. It's full of Hebraisms. You can't understand Greek until you understand Hebrew. You can't understand Greek or Hebrew very well until you understand Greek. And you don't understand the Bible pretty much at all until you understand those two languages. When I was going to school, you had to take 5 years of Greek and 5 years, 5 years of Hebrew to graduate with a doctorate. They ought to still do that. Sure would inoculate them from error. That's all I got to say. Ha-devar, Jehovah. And then we have the word Shabbaton. Shabbaton. What does this word Shabbaton or Sabbath mean? What does the word Sabbath mean? What does it really mean?
End of the week.
What does it mean? Shabbaton. Shabbat or Shabbaton. What does it really mean? What does the word Sabbath really mean?
Finished.
Boy, you got an A+, brother. Finished. Complete. That's what Sabbath means. All right. Complete. Finished. All right. And this observance, it has Sabbath, Sabbath is what it actually says. Sabbath, Sabbath. Sabbath, Sabbath. Kadesh, Kadesh, Kadesh. Holy. Kadesh, separate, separated. In Greek, hagios. In Greek, we would have saint from that word. Saint means not of earth. All right. Or separate from the earth. That's beautiful in Greek. Most people don't know that. The word saint in Greek means not of earth. Agios, hagios, not of gay earth, not of earth. When you're born the first time, you're born of earth. When you're born the second time, you're born from heaven. Your second birth is from above. Okay? Kadesh, holy. Lehadavar, to Jehovah. Machar means tomorrow. Et, sign of direct object. What's this? What's the Greek equivalent of et?
Ace.
All right. Give me the grammatical rule of ace.
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action.
A plus. Boy, these two really tonight, you guys are just... You got A pluses on your test tonight. All right. Good rest of you guys, you hear that? A plus students. All right. Extension and limitation of thought or verbal action. All right, now, let's go back just a little bit, because right here you need it. We just started to study about all the names of Moses, what everybody named, and we studied all the names of Jethro. All right, now let's go back. Let's look at some of the prepositions, and these prepositions apply to Hebrew and to Greek, okay? They apply to Hebrew and Greek. Here we have an object. Okay? That doesn't work so well. Go through 34 of these. I'll find one that works, maybe. Here's an object. Okay? Left.
Two.
Page what? 515. All right. All right. All right. Pros in Greek. Okay, two pros. Now we have something going up to something. In Greek, basically, this is the dative case in Greek. Okay, when you go up to something, that means right there. To it, pros, to it. Okay. Now, in Greek. What's that idea? In, preposition in.
Is it through?
Huh?
Through?
It goes into. Into the object. Okay? And then if we go, let's see, apo. Apo. We've got all these equivalents in Hebrew and Greek both. Okay. In faith, the Hebrew preposition faith. All right. Okay. From in Greek. From. Where would the action be going from this object? From it. Okay. Now if we go. Hippo, where do you go? Hippo. You go under the object. Okay. And hyper. Hypoglycemia. We know all about that, don't we, brother?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's bad stuff. That's when you get killed. Hypoglycemia. Hyperglycemia, that kills you too, but slower. Hyper means what?
Over.
Over. All right. Now let's look at this word, ace. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. We looked at that just a little bit the other day. And also it's et in Hebrew. I better do that again. That was terrible. Sometimes I shake so bad I can't write. I can't even hardly run a mouse on the thing I'm shaking so bad anymore. Et. Ace. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That ace is a beautiful one. Now, Hebrew has the same idea with that action. Hebrew, that word et just means action, doesn't it? Action is coming. From behind, forward, below, above, whatever. Now, ace, let's start ace right here. Ace can go extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It can go forward, it can go backward. It can go to and beyond. Acts 2:38 says, we are baptized for the remission of sins. That's what King James said. That's what the Church of England believed. They believed in baptismal regeneration, so they translated such. But that's not what it really means, is it? We found out there that you're baptized because of the remission of sins. So what happened? Here you are with ACE, and you go back to salvation. You're baptized not to get saved, but because you're saved. Okay? Because you're saved. And we believe in Christ, we believe in Him and all the way through Him into eternity in the future. That's ACE. That's a beautiful word. Okay, so we just looked at that. We compared a few of these prepositions. All right, Holy Sabbath. We at. Tomorrow, to Jehovah tomorrow, Mashar, et what you shall keep on baking. Tofu, that means to bake. She'll keep on baking. Second person, masculine, plural, cal, imperfect. You shall keep on baking until tomorrow. You bake. Ethu, you'll bake. And, now we have got we et there, but all we know is that there's action going from that et. We is what? That's a conjunction. That's like chi in Greek. Alright, chi or day in Greek. Asher, which ye shall keep on boiling. Alright? Second person, masculine, PL, imperfect. You shall bake him or you shall boil him. And who are they going to bake and who are they going to boil? Manna. Manna means what? What is it? Alright. Bashilu. 1623 bait. Bashilu, we et. Chal, ha'adeth. Ha'nichu. Lakem. Libmishmeret. Ad. Haboker. Ye boil. Masculine plural, PL imperative. Ye boil. And, here we have the sign of direct object. But it's only thing we can translate there is action's going that way and it's got a conjunction on it. And all the remaining. All the remaining. All of the remaining. Masculine singular cal participle. All the remaining. Give rest. Give rest. Masculine plural hifel imperative. You give rest. For yourselves to guard until the break of day. Alright? Make sure you rest until the break of day. Sharon, you want to bring that Amplified Bible back up here and read from where we did, where we had a while ago, right to present tense right here? Alright. Where we started was verse number what?
Well, it was 20.
20.
But, yeah.
So read from 20 to 23.
Okay. But they did not listen to Moses. Some of them left it until morning, and it bred worms, became foul and stank, and Moses was angry with them. They gathered it every morning, and each as much as he needed, for when the sun became hot, it melted. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each person, and all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, the Lord has said, tomorrow is a solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake and boil what you will bake and boil today, and all that remains over put aside for you to keep until morning.
All right, thank you. Now we're in verse number 24. Verse number 24. Verse number 24. Why ya ni chu? Why is that chu on the end of that, brother?
It's personalize it.
Okay,
it's
yeah, that Greek? Yeah, that personalize it. But what about the chu? Why is not you? Why is it chu and it's not a it's chu instead of you?
Well, there's a het and a
hay and a chet.
Yeah.
All right? And this is a chet, isn't it? Yeah. So this has a ch, ch, ch. Yeah. Not a H sound, but a ch. An H, but with a ch, like clearing your throat. Say, ch, ch, chet.
Like
all right? Uh-huh. All right? Ya na li ni chu. Oto, ad, haboker, ka asher, Swa, Moshe, Wilo, Habish, Wirima, Lo, Hayata, Bo. And they rested, or they gave rest, in third person, masculine, plural, hifel, wow, consecutive, but perfect. You know that God even took care of the animals on the Sabbath? What did God say about the animals? They had to have a Sabbath too. They had to rest too. They had to rest too. Animals had to rest too. Brother Mike, you've been out on the farm a lot. You were raised out there in the Old River area, right in Old River, weren't you? Do you know what Monday morning sickness is? Does anybody here know what Monday morning sickness is? Anybody?
Are you referring to alcohol?
No, not alcohol. Do you know what Monday morning sickness is? Does anybody here know what Monday morning sickness is? They used to work the old horses too hard. Real, real hard. Now, see if you remember this, Brother Mike. I don't know. They probably were using tractors when you were out there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know. I saw animals, and I've worked animals a lot in my life. My stepfather, of course, he was my stepfather late in my life. I was already grown. I was 18 or 20 years old when he came into my life. Anyway, he lived on two sections of land in Texas and Oklahoma. They farmed it with stock. His father offered to give him the whole farm if he'd come back and farm it. He went to the Army. He said, the first time I ever saw a safety razor was in the Army. Oh, we had straight razor. We used... Dad had one straight razor. Us boys, seven or eight of them, had straight razors, shared all the same straight razor. You know how miserable that is. No, you probably never shaved with a straight razor either. See, I know all these old things, you know. I'm old. Anyway, his father offered to give him the whole farm if he'd come back there, and he said, I don't ever want to get behind an animal or set a plow or anything ever again. So his father sold it to a preacher and struck oil on it. Millions and millions of dollars. Dusty decided to come out here to California and drill oil wells. Well, he could have been drilling oil wells on his own land. All right. But he didn't want to get behind them horses anymore. Those mules, those oxen. Horses, and you work them too hard. If you work a horse till he's so buffed out and so powerful and at the peak of his power, you've done too much. You've done too much. You keep them to where they don't become that hard. If you get somebody in too good a shape, they have to work out every day. They can't take a day off. Did you know that? The horses, when they work them too hard out in the fields every day, all day, pulling those plows, and they go in there and they let them sit in the stall one day and let them eat. When they took them out on Monday morning and they harnessed them up, the horse started sweating. Sweat would pour off of them like rain. Monday morning, and their guts would tie up. Because they knew they were going to have to go back into it because it had been worked too hard. You get your cutting horses, you get your show horses, and when you work them so hard, they'll get Monday morning sickness. And you go out there, just put a saddle on them, and they'll just start raining sweat. And when they do that, you better start walking them around and give them a lot of bute. Because they may fall over and die on you. That's almost death. Right to the point of death, okay? Right to the point of death. That's Monday morning sickness. God guarded these animals back in those days. You don't work them like that. And animals, we find out, God would not, giving you a little extra stuff in here now. God would not allow these Jews to neuter any of their animals, would they? Because the animals were, they should have the benefit of pleasure also. If they neutered them, then they couldn't be. But the bulls would be more gentle if they neutered them like the Gentiles or like the heathens did. But he wouldn't let them do that. You could, if you neuter a horse, the horse gets calcium deposits, and you have to remove them out of his urethra. Okay, get beans, what they call beans in there. See, I had to do all this stuff. This is stuff nobody else knows about. Okay. There's a lot of reasons. Cats, male cats, when you neuter a male cat, he can get calcium deposits just like horses. And if you don't get them out of there, he's a dead cat. Simple as that. The females aren't like that. But there are complications to all of these things. And God saw through all of that all the time. Never worry about studying science and medicine and archaeology. Because if you study correct archaeology and correct science and all this stuff, you're never going to go against the Bible. You're going to see the Bible just built upon, built upon, built upon. Okay? All right. 24 is where we are at 24? Okay. Wayanichu. And they rested him until the daybreak. Just as, look at that word, ka-ashur. What does the word ka-ashur? We have two words there. We have a compound word. What two words does it come from? Ki, all right, and asher. Ki and asher. Just as which is what it means. Just as which. Twa. He had commanded. Third person, masculine, singular. PL, perfect. What's the PL stem? What does that mean, PL?
Intense,
powerful. And he commanded Moses, and not we low. We have a conjunction there, that's we, and we have low, which is an adverb of negation. And not li, if you want to really translate it correctly, it doesn't make sense in English, but it's an active not. And not he had been caused to stink. All right? Now, when this food, this manna, what is it? When it was left overnight, it didn't stink when they were doing what God told them to do. Okay? Now, is manna a natural food over there in the Middle East? Is manna a natural food? Yes.
It is, but it's seasonal.
It's seasonal. That's right. And it only comes out. And they go out and gather, and it's exactly like they say here. I have seen manna. I have seen manna. There's manna over there always. There's manna. But what God did here, very again, when you study archaeology and when you study all this type of stuff, botany even, manna is produced from the tamarisk tree. And it falls on the ground, and when the sun comes up, it melts. And it's sweet like honey. Sweet like honey. But it's only seasonal and only a little bit. But God just rained like there was a tamarisk forest in the sky. He rained tremendous amounts of manna down on these people. Alright? Tremendous amounts of manna on them. All the time. Every day. Not seasonal. Not just one day or 3 days a month or in the springtime or in the fall or in the summer or whatever it produced, but it's 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. 52 weeks a year. Okay? And he commanded Moses not. He had calls and had calls to stink, and the worm, not she had become. Now the worm, this worm here is a feminine worm. That's a she. That worm, that word worm there, that's a feminine word. All right, a feminine word. Write down feminine. There's a word, that word worm, that's a feminine word. And by the way, what do we think about worms? What kind of worms are there? Are all worms feminine? Yes. All worms are masculine too. They are bisexual. Don't matter. They have both sex organs in them. They mate and whatever. They have male and they have female sex organs in them. Worms do. But this is a female worm. Okay? Because you can look at them as all females. And she had a knot, she had become in him. Worms. She had become. Look at that word, she had become. Third person feminine singular, third person feminine singular, cow perfect. We got six more minutes and we're out of tape. Okay, are you happy with this? You want to quit or you want to go on a little further? All right, 1625. Wayomer. Moshe. Ikluhu. Hayom. Ki Shabbat Hayom Lihadavar Hayom Lowell. Tim Suahu. Basade. And he said, third person masculine, senior, Caldwell, consecutive and perfect, Moses. What's Moses mean? All right, means to draw out or to rescue. All right, he said here, what would be the equivalent of this one in Greek? He said. All right, he said. Laleo would be the equivalent of this one. Havar is Lego, was the equivalent in Greek. Moses. Ikluhu. Ye eat him. Ye gobble him. Masculine, plural, cal, imperative. And he said, ye eat him the day. For or because a Sabbath, the day, to Jehovah. The Sabbath is the day to Jehovah. The today, not ye shall keep on finding him in field. Not she shall keep on finding him. Look at this word, Timsiyahu. All right? Timsiyahu. Ye shall keep on finding him. Second person masculine, plural, cal imperative. Suffix third person masculine, singular. Who's the third person masculine singular there? That's the manna because it's a him. The manna is a him. In field, ba seda. What's Beth on the front of that? That's a preposition. This preposition, remember, the bait. Preposition in. This is a field here. This object is a field. In him. What is the sada? What is a sada? What is a sada? What does that mean? Moist. A plus. Moist. This is what we call a meadow. You're not going to go out there in the meadow where the moisture is. It's a place that has enough moisture in the night to feed the grass or whatever. All right? Moisture. It has enough moisture. Dew. That's the sada. The sada. 1626. Shishet yamim til ki tu hu yu bayom ha shabi shaba lo yeye.
Yeah.
Oh. Six shishit, 6 days ye shall keep on picking. Ye shall keep on picking him. Literally. Ye shall keep on 6 days, ye shall keep on picking him. I live out on the farm where I picked cotton and buckhay when I was young. I was picking cotton out there when I was 5 years old, out in the cotton fields out there. And that old boy out there that was farming that land he was a sharecropper, Van Worth, Charlie Van Worth and Sonny Van Worth. I would go out there, and here I am this tall, little old five-year-old kid pulling a cotton sack. And back in those days, they had great big tall cotton trailers. You had to climb up this. First of all, you went over there and you weighed your cotton sack right on there on this cotton scale, and they paid you right there for how much it was worth. That's what you call cotton picking money, all dollar bills. Okay? That's what we used to call cotton picking money, a dollar bill. A guy full with a pocket full of dollar bills had a roll, an oaky roll, cotton picking money. Well, and then the next thing you did was nice to get your money, but that old boy told me, old Charlie and Sonny both says, get up there, Sonny. Get up there in that thing now. And I'd get up there and I'd dump my sack over there. And this is high for a little old kid. I mean, those trailers are 12, 15 feet high on these old wooden ladders. Still got some of those wooden ladders out there that they put on the side of those cotton trailers. I'd get up there and they'd say, now jump in there, Sonny, and stomp her down. You know what I'm talking about. They get out and we'd get in there and stomp. He said, keep on stomping it down now, Sonny. You get that stomp down. I get in there. I don't know why. I was lighter than a feather. Why he wanted me to stomp it down. Guess he couldn't tell those grown-ups to do it. They tell him to jump the creek or something. Anyway, I got back out and I go back out in the field again. And when I was bucking hay out there, I was just bucking hay. When I was farming up there in Fish Lake Valley, my stepfather, Dale Otto Remling, He was outlaw, you know. But he got a whole job up there. He became the manager of the Snow Goose Ranch in Fish Lake Valley.